All right, the next talk is a lot of words about how devices are modeled in Linux. Bartosz, please.
Hi. Okay, so I review mostly driver code, and I realize that sometimes there seems to be some confusion on what different types of firmware nodes are and what they are at all. So I decided to deliver this talk. I'm going to do a short recap of the driver model, how we discuss how we did things in the past and how we're doing them now. I work for Qualcomm, and I maintain a couple of things in the Linux, and my work revolves mostly around Linux. So the driver model. The driver model was created to abstract the code that is common to all device drivers in Linux, and we have three principal actors. We have the device, we have the driver, and the bus. So device is represented in the kernel by structure called struct device, and this is the logical representation of a hardware component. Not necessarily one-to-one, we can have multiple struct devices representing a single component, or the other way around, we can have logical struct devices for where there are no real actual discrete hardware components. We have the driver. The driver is a set of instructions telling Linux how to deal and how to control a device. And finally, we have the bus, and bus is the entity whose task is to manage matching and attaching devices to drivers. A driver always has to have a bus type assigned, and a bus can actually be a device drive or a device too, so we can have a driver that exports a bus that manages a different type of device drivers. How does it work in practice? So we have a bus, and it contains two lists and maintains a device list and a driver list. And when a driver appears on, so let's populate the driver list with some drivers. This is equivalent to registering your driver in a kernel module. And then a device appears. So what the bus will try to do, it will try to match the device, the new device with every driver. So let's try driver zero, didn't match. Let's try the second one. Okay, this one matched. So that means that this driver can actually control this device. So the next step is attaching the device to the driver. So we do something that we refer to as probing. We try to attach the device to the driver, and it worked. So that means that this driver and this device can work together. So we consider now the driver, the device to be bound to the driver. So let's consider another device that appears on the bus. We try again. We try to match it. Doesn't match. Try to match it with a second driver. Okay, now it matches. Let's try to probe it. Oh, no, doesn't work. Probe defer. What does it mean? This means that this driver, this device and this driver can work together, but there's something missing, some resource. So we put it into a queue, and we wait for more devices to appear. Okay, we have another device. This one matches, this one probes, and now we can try to reprobe the device that was previously deferred. Okay, now it works. So something provided by device number two was needed by device number one. And if we add another driver, what we will do, we will just go through the list of existing devices and try to match them. Okay, so how are devices that don't just automatically appear on a bus can be discovered and instantiated in the Linux kernel? So for that, we use something called the platform bus, and also some other more exotic buses, but for another, that's material for another talk. So, what is a platform bus? The platform devices are the devices that you cannot really discover, so you need to describe them in firmware. This will be typically the low-level devices on your system. And why do they need to be described? Because let's imagine that you have the same device used in different boards, and they are wired differently. Or even you have the same IP reused in different SoCs, but they are implemented in a bit different way. So Linux needs to know what register range to map for a device, or which clock to enable, or which regulator, GPIO, whatnot. platform driver just says, map me this, or give me this, enable this. And it wouldn't be very portable if that driver tried to actually access the system register, so we abstract that away. Because there's no problem in computer science that cannot be fixed with another layer of abstraction. So how do we reuse the same platform driver, the same device that just wired a bit differently on a different system? So we need to, along with the device driver, along with the device, we also need to pass some information describing it to the driver. How did we do that historically? Before we had a thing called device tree, we used to use board files. Of course, there were other ways, but I have an ARM bias, and x86 folks will probably remember different mechanisms. So this is your typical ARM board file. And what you do, you have some resources, you have some platform data, you have the definition of the device, and then you register it in code. But this comes with a lot of problems. So you, when you do that in C code, you have strict ordering, no parallelization. You mix hardware description with functional logic, and you have a lot of hand-coded dependencies, random callbacks all over the place. Adding anything new sometimes requires reordering, debugging, and whatnot. And while some things were done right, and an example is the struct resource, which exists, has existed for decades and still exists and is still used, some things didn't age very well, among them platform data. So how did it work? Each platform driver would define its own custom structure, and board files would fill that structure in and pass it to along the device to the driver. And that would be quite repetitive. You would have hundreds of different platform data structures, but what they store are typically integers and strings, and possibly also pointers to callbacks that would be defined in the board files and would be responsible for setting up clocks, regulators, and whatnot. So the latter, that has mostly been abstracted away into driver subsystems nowadays. And if what you're left with is mostly integers than strings, then it probably can be done better. Enter device tree. So device tree is called a device tree because the device acyclic directed graph wasn't a very sexy name. But this is a data structure that has both text and binary format and describes hardware. And we have a compiler dedicated called device tree compiler, DTC, that is used to translate between the two formats. And nodes in device tree are ordered in a parent-child fashion, and also starting from a root. And we also can reference nodes from other nodes using what we call P handles. This is just a bit of a device tree in text format. You have your properties, you have your references to other nodes. You can use the so-called hash properties to define, like, for instance, a number of expected p-handle arguments. You have your child nodes, and there are also some more advanced concepts like graphs and whatnot, but in Linux, in general, all upstream device resources should conform with device tree bindings, which are YAML documents that define expected properties, their format, meaning, and whatnot. And Linux, at boot, it parses the binary form of device tree and creates a tree in memory, or a cyclic directed graph, in memory of structures called device nodes, and also exposes a set of interfaces for accessing this data from drivers. So when you have the example that we had before, you can use the functions in the kernel that use the OF prefix for accessing the data, strings, integers, lists, p-handles, and you can iterate over child nodes. So now, this is not the only data format that uses nodes and concepts like children, references to other nodes, and whatnot. So we have this, but we also have ACPI, which isn't the same, but can be can reuse a certain number of concepts. And we have software nodes, about which I'm going to be talking in a minute. So their power combined, we created something that is called the firmware node interface. So this is just a generalization of this firmware description. And if you want to generalize your off-centric system to firmware nodes, your device node will become an FW node handle, P handles become references, graphs remain graphs. And users, drivers can freely translate between the two using the provided interfaces. So if we go back to our example, instead of using the OF interfaces, if we translate our device node to a firmware node, we now can use the FW node properties to, for most part, do all the same operations. They are not one-to-one, and there's some functionality in firmware node that is missing from, in OF nodes that is missing from the firmware nodes, but for most part, they can be reused. What are software nodes? So some devices don't have real firmware nodes associated with them, or they are incomplete. So this is where you can fill in those gaps in software. Software nodes are basically C structures that are defined statically, and they are registered at runtime, and they also have a parent-child relationship, can also reference other nodes. And if you look at that and you tell to yourself, well, this is just platform data with extra steps, then you are right. But also with this, we have the abstraction that allows drivers to use the same code to access data defined in firmware and in software. And can we have both? Can we mix the two, OF nodes or ACPI nodes and software nodes? Yes, we have a concept called secondary firmware nodes, where a firmware node can have an additional reference to a software node from which it can complete its information about the device. DevLinks. So far, we've been talking about mostly about parent-child relationship, but we also have to talk more about sibling relationships, or rather maybe supplier-consumer. So let's imagine that we have a system where we have a Mac, and this Mac needs to function, needs a PHY and a clock. So the Mac and the clock are the children of the SoC, and the clock, we can consider it a supplier to the Ethernet Mac, and same a PHY. But the thing is that if the PHY and the clock is not there, then there is no reason to even try to probe the Mac. So this is why we have a thing where from the firmware information, like device tree, we can infer what the relationships between the devices are, who is supplier of whom, and we can actually make sure that we don't pass, that we don't try to probe the Mac before we have successfully probed the PHY and the clock. So if you look at all those interfaces that we have, I'd like to give you an example. There is this thing called recurrent laryngeal nerve in our bodies, which is a nerve that controls the larynx, the speech. And it goes from your brain all the way under the aorta and then all the way back. And if you consider an animal like a giraffe with a very long neck, it actually does go all the way down and all the way up. This is the result of evolution, which is just good enough, and it isn't an intelligent design. So it's the same with the kernel. The interfaces have evolved over many, many years and through many iterations. And not all of them were done perfectly from the get-go. So this is why we have so many different interfaces. If we did it from the start now, we would probably have ended up with a single firmware node interface, but we have all these other interfaces as well that we mix. Just wanted to explain why the kernel is a bit like a giraffe. Programming guide. If you are writing a kernel driver, which interfaces to use? If you have a struct device and you don't need to do anything complex like resolving references to other nodes, use the interfaces that start with device underscore. They go through the firmware node and they are the highest abstraction layer for retrieving information for devices. If you take the example from before, this is what interfaces you can use to retrieve the information from that piece of device tree. When to use firmware node APIs. If you need to, if your device node has children that carry important information, you may need to iterate over the child firmware nodes. This is where you start using the FW node API. Also, you may need to extract information from a node that is not associated with an actual device, or the device doesn't exist yet. When to use the very low-level API, like the OF functions, you may need to iterate. If you need to iterate over all the properties of a firmware node, that's not possible or not possible yet. And also, you may need if you may need to also set up software nodes. For software nodes, you need to set them up before you register up. You register them before you register them. You refer to them as software nodes using their low-level APIs. Once they're registered, they become full firmware nodes, and this is where you should switch to the higher-level API. So this is like something like this: device underscore. It's better than FW node. Then it's better than OF or SW node. and ACPI, so the low-level APIs. And yeah, that's it. Sorry, I was bringing really fast because I wanted to fit into the time slot. Questions?
All right, questions. This one over there. Yeah.
So, since there are some drivers that needs to take information from a software firmware node, is that possible that more drivers have to adopt the firmware node convention instead of the OF node, OACPI node, if, for example, in some devices can run ACPI, have ACPI and the device tree, for example? Is it possible to transform the drivers to use either ACPI and what is the situation now in the kernel for those drivers?
So if you are writing a new driver, there's no reason to use OF interfaces. You should use either the device or as a second option, the firmware node interface. If you're writing a new driver, even if it's OF only for now, there's no reason to not use the firmware node abstraction. And if you need to enable firmware node abstraction in an OF-centric driver, then yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
Maybe a bit little out of topic, but is support for MacFIs really there? Because it wasn't your example, but I thought all week with a PHY driver for an Ethernet PHY, not probing before its consumer, so the Mac. I saw something on the lore about this devlink not really working for Mac PHY.
Oh, yeah. I don't have an answer, but I will find out.
Okay.
Hi, Bart. Good presentation. I like that you made it eventually. Not really the question, but one additional information maybe to audience and you as well. There is an activity for these big devices like DSAs and, you know, PCIe extension cards with like full computer on them, that we could run on ACPI-based systems, actually we could run device tree overlays. So, and when you said about OF-specific APIs, in some cases it's used even in ACPI-enabled systems. So it's really interesting case to maybe mention.
Okay, I will update the talk if I redo it.
Okay. Possibly last question, I think.
Based on what you mentioned, I understand that the FW interface can do anything that the OF...
No, not anything. No. I mentioned there are a couple of things that it cannot do. It can do most.
They cannot do them yet, right? So does this mean that OF1 would eventually could eventually be replaced by the other entirely?
So I don't think so. But for most use cases, it probably could.
But there's no chance of deprecating the other one, say.
Well, there are still things that we do, like, you know, like device tree overlays, dynamic OF nodes, and whatnot, that we'll probably have to keep it around, I think. But I don't think we can entirely get rid of it, but probably we can use firm FW node interface in most use cases, normal use cases, not doing anything overly complex.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.